Hello, this is Dan Valanchis. Welcome you back to another episode of Community Hospitalist Podcast. And today I have Eunice, one of our excellent PA students from DeSales PA School. And today we'll be talking about issues in regards to the management of pneumonia. So as a jumping off point, I just wanted to briefly outline an article. And this is from several years ago. That appeared in Chest in July, and is entitled Antimicrobial Therapy Escalation and Hospital Mortality Among Patients with Healthcare-Associated Pneumonia. And in this article, they point out that the mortality rate for healthcare-associated pneumonia is in excess of community-acquired pneumonia. And that these patients present from the community, however, and that they have the need for dialysis, immune suppression, residents in the nursing home, recent history of hospitalizations, and the defining features of healthcare-associated pneumonia. So they did a retrospective review of their cases with healthcare-associated pneumonia, found what the initial antibiotic therapy was, and then saw what the associated mortality was, and this was the Barnes Jewish Hospital between 2003 and 2005. They found that basically the risk of mortality was higher in those who initially received inappropriate therapy. All their patients, by the way, lived beyond 48 hours. So patients who received initial inappropriate therapy had a higher risk of mortality. 30% who had received inappropriate therapy versus 18.3% in those who received appropriate therapy. Subsequent increase in the therapy did not decrease the mortality. In other words, if the initial antibiotic choice was incorrect, this didn't. And subsequently correcting the antibiotics did decrease the risk of death. Most of these patients in their studies survived beyond 48 hours. And so their conclusion was that particularly among those without evidence of bacteremia, additional inappropriate choice of antibiotic coverage imparted a nearly threefold increase in hospital mortality, but the overall mortality again was high for these patients. So I just thought this article pointed out the importance of identifying patients with healthcare-associated pneumonia and the importance of the correct antibiotic selection, and with that, I'll hand it over to Eunice, who has prepared a general review of pneumonia and appropriate antibiotic choices in pneumonia.
Hi, my name is Eunice. As you've heard from Dr. Valencia, I'm a PA student from DeSales, and I'm here to talk about the differences between community-acquired and the healthcare-associated pneumonia. I will begin with community-acquired pneumonia. First of all, what are some of the risk factors of community-acquired pneumonia? If some patients who tend to get communicable pneumonia are like chronic alcoholics, people who smoked for a long time, if they have lung diseases like asthma, older, more than 70, and sometimes if they're immunocompromised, like on chronic steroids or HIV. Some of the common bacterial causes of community-acquired pneumonia include strep pneumo, which is the most common, H. influenza, and staph aureus. Occasionally, they might get the community-acquired MRSA. You might also want to think of some of the gram negatives, like Klebsiella, especially in your alcoholics and pseudomonas. Of the atypical bacterials, you want to think of Mycoplasma, Chlamydia, Legionella, and of course, we always think of viruses. And in cases of aspiration pneumonia, you also want to include the anaerobes. So the presentation of a patient with community-acquired pneumonia, especially with strep pneumo, patient comes in with fever, chills, sweats, and shortness of breath, coughing. They might have productive or non-productive cough, and sometimes they also might have blood tinged sputum, and sometimes they might also complain of pleuritic chest pain. Others may come in with nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, especially if they have Legionella, headache, fatigue, muscle pain, and joint pain. And in the elderly patients, sometimes they might present with just confusion. A physical exam, patients will be tachypneic, breathing a little faster. There will also be dull to pocas, might also contain some crackles, friction wrap, and sometimes it might be increased or decreased ductal firmness. So how do you diagnose community-acquired pneumonia? Usually it's just a clinical diagnosis, but sometimes you might include imaging, blood cultures, sputum cultures, and staining. So chest x-ray sometimes might be helpful, but sometimes you also might consider CT, which is considered to be better than chest x-ray. Of the sputum stains and cultures, you're looking for more than 25 white blood cells and less than 10 squamous epithelial cells and a high power field, which tends to be more than 80% for the sputum stain and more than 90% sensitive. For the gram stain, if you see just a single organism, it's highly suggestive. Blood cultures are usually not helpful. Only 10 or 14% of the patients will be positive. But they're usually useful in the high-risk patients like neutropenic or splenic patients who tend to get fulminant disease. Sometimes you might consider urine antigen testing, especially for strep pneumo or Legionella. And sometimes you also might consider serology testing if it's increased 4 times of the IgM. Usually it's assisting in diagnosis, but usually requires a lot, takes a lot of time. So how do you treat community-acquired pneumonia? You might use how do we treat community-acquired pneumonia? You may use some of the risk stratification tools like CURB-65. CURB is C-U-R-B. C stands for confusion. U is urea if they have more than 7 millimolars per liter. R is for respiration rate if they're breathing more or 30 respirations per minute or more. And the blood pressure, B is for blood pressure if their systolic is less than 90 and diastolic is less than 60, meaning they're hypertensive. And 65 is age greater than equal or greater than 65. Each gets a point. If they have 0 points, you can treat them as outpatient. And if they have 2 points, they get admitted in the hospital. And if they have 3 or more, get admitted to the hospital and in the ICU unit. So, choice of antibiotics for community-acquired. Usually we treat community-acquired for 10 to 14 days, but usually a 5-day course of fluoroquinolones sometimes can be sufficient for uncomplicated community-acquired pneumonia. We choose antimicrobial that covers usually a strep pneumo, which is the most common, and sometimes the atypicals. So one, if you're treating outpatient, Outpatient can be treated again. People who have at least a score of 0, meaning they've been prior to being getting the pneumonia. They were healthy, and they also haven't used any antibiotics for the last 3 months. Your choices could be any macrolide, like azithromycin, 500 milligrams twice a day, or doxycycline, 100 milligrams twice a day. You can also treat it outpatient if they have comorbidities and they have used antibiotics for the last 3 months. Then you want to go with something that's a little better, like fluoroquinolones, levofloxacin 750 once a day, or beta-lactams, which is your high dose amoxicillin, 1 gram 3 times a day, or you met 2 grams twice a day. Or you can choose a cephalosporins like ceftriaxone, 1 to 2 grams once a day. If you're treating them inpatient but not in the ICU, again, you can use above antibiotics, but also you can add other antibiotics like ampicillin to cover the gram negatives, 1 to 2 grams every 4 to 6 hours. And if you're going to treat them in inpatient ICU, you want to make sure you cover for Pseudomonas and community-acquired, MRSA. And you want to treat them with the above antibiotics, and you can also add Strithromycin. And also you can add high dose of ampicillin, 2 grams IV, Q, 8 hours. For Pseudomonas, you can use Cipro, 400 milligrams IV, twice a day, or levofloxacin 750 IV, once a day. For community-acquired MRSA, which tends to be resistant to some antibiotics, you can use Venco, 1 gram IV, twice a day, or you can use Zyvox, tends to be a little expensive, 600 milligrams IV, twice a day. What are the complications of community-acquired? We treat it because you're trying to prevent some of the complications like respiratory failure. Patient can go into a shock. They can get lung abscesses, or they can also develop pleural effusions. For a follow-up of community-acquired pneumonia, you can do a chest x-ray 4 to 12 weeks later, which usually is not required, but it's required for high-risk patients, and also you can give them flu vaccines and pneumovaccine. Now to healthcare-associated pneumonia. Healthcare-associated pneumonia, again, like Dr. Valencia has talked about, is defined as people who have the following risk factors. If the patient has been in the hospital for more than 2 days, if the patient has been in the hospital for more than 2 days for the last 3 months, if they have used any antibiotics for the last 3 months, their chronic dialysis, if they receive any home infusion treatment, meaning they have to go to the hospital multiple times, if they receive any home wound care, or if they live in a nursing home, or if they had any contact with a patient who had multi-drug-resistant infection. Mostly these patients, you worry about MRSA and Pseudomonas, which both of those two bugs have high treatment failure rate. So choosing antibiotics for these patients, first of all, empirically, you can start with a broad-spectrum antibiotics. Patients without risk factors for multi-drug resistance pathogens, you can use ceftriaxone, 2 grams IV once a day, levofloxacin, which is your fluoroquinolones, 750 IV once a day, Cipro, which both levofloxacin and Cipro will cover for your Pseudomonas, and you can also use Atipan, 1 gram IV once a day. For your patients with the risk factors for multi-drug resistance pathogens, mostly these patients might be actually in ventilators, which they might get something called ventilator-associated pneumonia. You want to use broad-spectrum beta-lactam, the above antibiotics for the patients without the risk factors for multi-drug resistance. But you also want to add other antibiotics like Impenem 500 IV every 6 hours. Again, this type of patients, you want to cover gram negatives, and you also want to cover gram positives, which is just MRSA. Again, you can use Venco 1 gram IV twice a day, or Zyvox 600 milligrams IV twice a day. And that is mainly the difference between community acquired pneumonia and health associated pneumonia.
I thought that was a really thorough review. Thank you, Eunice. So I don't know, Mike, Eunice, you can comment in terms of what your take-home message is, but I thought that one of the take-home messages I want to have for this is recognizing that there's a difference between community-acquired pneumonia and healthcare-associated pneumonia, and that the pathogens for healthcare-associated pneumonia more closely mirror those for hospital-acquired pneumonia than for ventilator-associated pneumonia than they necessarily do for community-acquired pneumonia, and therefore the treatment for healthcare-associated pneumonia mirrors the treatment for those other conditions, primarily focusing on pseudomonal coverage and in selected patients coverage for MRSA. The other thing is the failure. So if you don't understand that there is a difference between these two things and you treat every patient coming from the community as a community-acquired pneumonia, then there's the potential that those without appropriate initial antibiotic selection, that those patients misidentified who have healthcare-associated pneumonia are at risk for worse outcomes. And so, you know, I think that understanding that there's a difference in thinking about that, and then because I mean, if you forget the antibiotic coverage that you should have, that's always something that can be looked up, something that can be reviewed with the pharmacy, that type of thing. But sort of the initial recognition that these are separate entities and why it's important, I think is crucial. And the dosing's a little different. Antibiotic selection is a little different for healthcare-associated pneumonia. But I think it's that primary recognition. And then the other thing is, and I think as Eunice was alluding to, for the healthcare-associated pneumonia, you usually treat for 3 days, and if they're getting better, you take essentially. So, you know, it's like 3 days. They come from the nursing home with pneumonia. You treat them for 3 days for healthcare-associated pneumonia. Then you taper the antibiotics to a more narrow spectrum. So usually what I do is taper them to level one. But, you know, but we initially start drugs. So, but I thought that Eunice just gave a tremendous overview, and I think this is sort of an important topic that we can tend to gloss over if we're not careful. So with that, I'll hand it over to Eunice in terms of seeing if she has any additional thoughts.
Right, now that we've learned about community-acquired pneumonia and healthcare-associated pneumonia, it's very important, like Dr. Valencia is saying, treating these two types of pneumonia is different sometimes, and it's really good to ask to get a very good history before treating a patient that comes in with pneumonia, because sometimes you don't get to know the risk factors for what type of pneumonia the patient might be having. And that concludes our presentation today. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Eunice. We're signing off.